This morning, Mara Awecki is going to speak with us. She is a mental health therapist with a private practice in La Crosse. She is speaking on resilience. I have to read my own notes. Resilience in uncertain times and how we can care for ourselves and others.
Does it work now? Ooh, yeah. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Such good vibes, you guys, which we need. So nervous system regulation, which I feel like fits very well with your topic for this month. I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling pretty dysregulated in the world. Is anyone just like a show of hands? Yeah, okay. We're all feeling it. So we're gonna start with just a quick little grounding activity that is pretty common with a lot of therapists in the mental health world. So just grounding into the space around us. So into our five senses, just looking around at five things that you can see. Just naming them in your mind. And then four things that you can touch. Three things that you can hear. Two things you can smell. And one thing you can taste. Having trouble regulating your nervous system in a capitalist hellscape? Try naming five things you can scream. Four things you can smash. Three things you can hex. Two things you can toss over a cliff, and one thing you can set on fire. Laughter is also a great way to regulate the nervous system, so I thought we needed a little joke. So we're all pretty stressed, I think. I think we can feel it. Our nervous systems certainly can. And stress is not necessarily bad or negative. Like, we need a little bit of stress sometimes. There's a large test that you're going to take. Stress isn't negative all of the time, right? But stress is negative when it is going to be taxing to the nervous system based on the length and the exposure of that stress. So there's a lot with polyvagal theory that I could talk about today. I'm in no way an expert on this, but I'm really jazzed about the information. And so I tried to just kind of distill key points. So we can think about all of this, but I also want to encourage and invite everyone to just like feel this. How does this all land in your bodies? So the first key point is neuroception. And neuroception is a term that was coined by Dr. Stephen Porges, who is the creator of polyvagal theory. And neuroception is a neural process for safety and danger. So we are wired for this, and it's just going on in the background all of the time. And as a social species, we're wired for safety and connection with those around us. And our nervous systems have learned how to get that safety and connection unconsciously. We have nervous systems that develop in utero, so think about how long your nervous system has been exposed to cues of safety to cue towards or to in this goal of getting safety and connection. So our third point, the key point, is adaptation over pathology. So because we have these unconscious ways of picking up on the danger and the safety that is for us or might not always be good for us, and this is called defensive accommodation. This is the ways in which our nervous system has adapted to help us survive and get that safety and connection. And we have the ability also to co-regulate with one another, which is the fourth key point here. We are able to sense each other's nervous systems with our neuroception. And with that neuroception, we are able to co-regulate and help one another calm our nervous systems together. And to be able to co-regulate with others, we first need to be regulated ourselves. If we're showing up dysregulated, there's not going to be a way for our nervous system to help anyone else calm down, to feel more regulated, to come back to a baseline. So to regulate ourselves, I think it's also important to understand how our nervous system functions, which is what I'm excited to talk about here today, polyvagal theory. But first, a little bit of wayfinding in the nervous system. So over on the left there, we have the central nervous system consisting of the brain, our spinal cord, but we're gonna be focusing on a branch of the peripheral nervous system, the autonomic nervous system. And the autonomic nervous system has two branches, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. The parasympathetic is made up of the dorsal vagus and the ventral vagus. Together, these two are the vagus nerve. You may have heard about that. It is very key in regulating our heart rate. It's kind of like the body's pacemaker. Are the three circuits that make up polyvagal theory. And here's a great chart. I love this chart. So just taking a look at this, I don't know if you got, can you all like read any of the text up there? It's kind of iffy probably, okay. Response to threat. Because right, stress is okay, right? In certain doses and length of time, but if the body is responding to threat, it's gonna look a little bit like this. So here are our three circuits. If we start at the bottom there in the ventral vagus, I was feeling very connected to ventral, calm, connection, fellowship. That's where all of that lives, in our social engagement. And then if there is stress, we're gonna first go into our sympathetic circuit, the fight or flight response. And we're gonna start to feel activated. There's an increase in blood pressure, increase in heart rate. We have a decrease in fuel storage, decreased digestion, and decreased relational ability. It's more difficult for us to relate to each other in this space. And fight or flight, that is the most effective to a threat. Just biologically, evolutionarily, right? Like, okay, let's make sure that works. And if it doesn't, then the body is going to move us into our dorsal vagus. And through threat, if our dorsal system is activated, this is the hormones are released to help numb pain. There's a decrease in heart rate, blood pressure, temperature, facial expressions, and eye contact. Very rarely will we ever find ourselves in a full dorsal shutdown. This is a preparation for death. But that is where it goes. That is where the body and the nervous system is going to take us in an extreme sense of danger. But if we get into that shutdown, the only way to come out is we have to go through back through the sympathetic nervous system first. We need to come back. We need to be activated. Our heart rate needs to increase again, and then we can reconnect with our ventral system. So I want us to all think about this in our own lives, kind of shut down or checked out, how it feels when we're angry or irritated, and then how it feels when we are calm and connected, where we can regulate ourselves, where there is compassion and curiosity. And I think it's really hard right now in the world to be connected to that ventral vagus. We have to really try. Here's another chart that I wanted to share with everyone as well, because none of these circuits are like bad. I worry that first chart sometimes makes us think are active all of the time. We all have functioning nervous systems. We're alive, we're all here today. So if you have a moving and functioning body, all of these circuits are moving and regulating you at all times. We need a little bit of dorsal to be able to go to sleep every night. Our heart rate needs to decrease. We need to calm down enough to do that. And every morning before we wake up, we need a little bit of sympathetic activation to raise our heart rate. We need to be able to get out of bed. And we also have mixed states. So that is what this chart here is describing. Looks like y'all can't read it either. But ventral up top, if we mix that with the mobilization of sympathetic, we're getting into a space of like play and performance, where we're still regulated, states of dorsal and ventral, where we're having these quiet moments, calm moments, the intimate moments of maybe holding a child or having a pet in your lap, where we're calm and we're connected to ventral. And then there's the mixed state of dorsal and the sympathetic nervous system. And the hybrid state of that is the freeze response. The freeze response is not a true dorsal response because there is the activation. I'm frozen, but I want to move towards something. I want to become active. But those mixed states might hold us there. So your wonderful theme on resilience. When it comes to the nervous system, resilience is our ability to regulate and have flexibility in the nervous system. It's not about always being in that ventral state because we're going to become dysregulated. The world is really stressful. But it's about what tools we have to be able to connect us back to ventral. So applying polyvagal theory to life, to ourselves, to others, to the world. When I think about myself and apply polyvagal theory, if I am particularly activated or stressed, I will engage with things that are going to calm my body. Deep breathing, I feel like we all hear this a lot, just like take deep breaths. But it's true, because our breath is able to connect with the heart rate, and our heart rate is controlled by our vagus nerve. So if we can control our breathing, reduce our heart rate, we have a little bit more access to our ventral system. And thinking about the impacts on the autonomic nervous system over the span of one's life. And I think about this too when I consider other people, because the world is really hard and scary right now, and I think a lot of us are seeing things that we don't understand. If I imagine what their nervous system has picked up more understanding, because our nervous systems don't really care about long-term implications. They want us to be safe and connected now. So if someone grew up in a culture, in a family, in a space where their way to get safety and connection was to have certain beliefs, behave in certain ways, they're going to do that because that is what kept them safe and connected. And for me, that brings a little bit more compassion. That brings me out of my sympathetic, angry space and back into that ventral vagus, back into a space where I can have a little bit more compassion and a little bit more connectedness. And lastly, I wanted to speak to how I apply polyvagal theory to your wonderful UU principles and values. Because as I was reading them, I couldn't help but notice that it all lives in ventral. So all of the beautiful beliefs and values that you all hold, that is in this space of calm, connection, empathy, compassion. And being able to reconnect to all of that is so important. And then for us as individuals, right now, I think a lot of us are feeling really helpless. I know I am. I hear it from my clients as a therapist, where we don't really know what to do or over our nervous systems. And if we can conceptualize who we are and how we've been impacted, then we have a little bit more agency over how we feel day to day. And if anyone is curious, I have some other resources available. And if there are any questions or curiosities, I would love to hear from you all.
Use that microphone. Does anybody have any questions for Mara?
So I love this. This is great. Just wondering how this intersects with trauma therapy, because, I mean, as we know, you know, we've all had different childhoods and a different foundation, and some people spent a lot of time in the red or the yellow zone, and their brains are flooded with cortisol, and we know that that can eventually actually restructure your brain chemistry. And so, you know, is using this theory, does it enlighten trauma therapy at all, and PTSD responses and things like that? What's the intersection?
Yeah, oh, excellent question. Polyvagal theory is used a lot for trauma therapists. I would describe myself as a trauma therapist, and polyvagal informed therapy helps with trauma to describe and understand what happened to the nervous system throughout someone's life. And if there's a lot of time in that red and yellow space out of threat that is not supported, the nervous system is going to be very impacted. And then we can then conceptualize and have more of a structure of like, okay, this is what your body experienced, this is how you responded, and now how can we start to connect to that ventral, and then how can we use different therapy techniques to process whatever happened in the sympathetic and dorsal spaces so that that can be reintegrated, and so that connection to ventral then becomes eventually more easy. And vagal tone is something that's talked a lot about with this. So kind of like thinking about like the tone of a muscle, the vagus nerve can also have tone. So how can we tone the vagus nerve so that there is that flexibility and resilience to be able to, if we get out of ventral, out of threat, how can we respond to that? And then how can we have that vagal tone so that we're very easily coming back to that ventral space? Yeah.
I know that the breathing control is a very important part of managing your response to all this. Is there any other physical things, massaging the sides of the neck, or any other things that you have thoughts about that can help people control things?
Yeah, awesome question. Thank you. So yes, breath, very key, very important to that regulation. There's also EFT tapping, which is different like meridians of the body, that can be very helpful for some people. Yeah, massage, being able to do like some self-touch pressure, a self-hug. I had a client who we knew that one of the ways for her to regulate herself was a forward chatting, because she and I both knew, like, yeah, that's how she does that. So it is really about finding what feels best in your body and what's going to calm you down. And for some people, things are activating, and for some people, things are very calming. So whether that's, EFT tapping, self-touch, chest pounding, forward folds. It is about finding what feels best in your system and what's going to regulate your foot back in ventral.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mara. Thank you.